Welcome back to the Wissywism podcast, everybody. This is your co-host, Tyler Yall, and today I am with
Chris Kellum.
And our special guest today is
Aranka Golfi.
Thank you so much for coming on. And special shout out to Grace with Sway Creations to set this up for us as well, too. That's kind of the intermediary to how we were able to meet you.
Absolutely.
And what some people don't know is every once in a while we do podcasts with people that neither one of us have met before. So you get the real life bar conversation and meeting someone for the very first time and kind of seeing what that looks like. So we will jump into that in just a moment. But in the meantime, Chris, what are we sipping on today?
So this week, the boys are sipping on some Crown Royal, the Regal Apple. It definitely has that like Granny Smith, like sharp green apple smell to it.
Yeah, we haven't tried it yet, but it definitely smells like one of those apple Jolly Ranchers.
Yes. And Aranka, because you're... Wait, did I say that right?
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, Aranka.
Since you're a week out from your fight, what are you drinking?
I'm drinking some black coffee. As a fighter, you try to be as skinny as possible. So that's how I started drinking it black. I started out like everyone else with the lattes. And I got some Black Rifle coffee as a Canadian in Florida. I got a blend in. So I got into the Black Rifle real fast.
So is your fight in Florida or is your camp in Florida or both?
I've been in camp in Florida since January 1st.
Okay.
My fight's in Detroit, Michigan at the National Golden Gloves. It's like Golden Gloves. Yeah. So
nice.
That's in about a week and a half.
Cool.
Nice. Is that your typical camp down there in Florida then?
No, this is kind of like my eat, pray, love situation. Nice. I left my job for 6 months or 4 to 6 months. Who knows at this point?
Right.
And packed up my bags and headed to Florida for just to train full time and give that dedication that a lot of people realistically can't afford to do.
Mm-hmm. Is there a gym that you're primarily training at?
Yeah, it's called a John 316 and 17 in Ocala, Florida. It's a very basic boxing gym, but Coach Tito, he's a Hall of Famer with the Florida Boxing Hall of Fame, was a really accomplished boxer from the South Bronx and, well, at Puerto Rico via the South Bronx.
Yeah.
And he spotted me at a tournament in Vancouver, or not Vancouver, but Victoria or Vancouver Island, British Columbia, middle of nowhere. And invited me down to train with him. And I was like, I got nothing going on here, minus, you know, a new marriage and my good job. So why not?
That's awesome.
That new Taylor Swift song, Florida, it's like one of the lines is bury your regrets in Florida. And I was like, yes, she gets
it. Oh, gosh.
I used to train MMA for a while and I trained with a lot of actual professional fighters, boxers and elsewhere. Mm-hmm. And a lot of them will train down in Florida right before their camp. So yeah. I was just curious who you were training with down there. So that's really cool.
I wish I could train here full time. It's hard to compete when you're in Canada. There's lots of snow. It's cold. Mm-hmm. And like I can train in ways here that I can't there just because of the climate.
Right.
Really.
Yeah.
Oh, that's neat. I never even would have thought about that.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess you could go outside, but like that has a totally different toll on your body versus Florida weather.
It's a lot harder. Like when you're looking at a run at 6 a.m, do you want to get up and do it in the slush and the snow and it leaks through your running shoes and you're sliding all around? Or do you want to do it in like before it gets nice and humid? It's just like cool air. No, don't have to worry about obstacles or injury or that sort of thing on the ground.
Huh. I was always curious about that. Like, I always knew people were like, oh, you know, I train outside of where you live normally. And I didn't know that, like, the reasons behind it. So that does make sense.
Yeah, there's better coaching. There could be, maybe there's something you want to specialize in. Like MMA fighters, they might want to improve their striking. They might want to improve their jiu-jitsu and they'll go to a different camp just to focus on that one aspect. Or it could be climate. Like, where I'm from Thunder Bay, Ontario. It's the middle of nowhere, Canada. You got to drive. I explain it as like it's 6 hours north of Minneapolis, northwest.
Northeast.
Yeah. So it's just there's not a lot of opportunity in boxing. And then so if you ruin your relationship with like the one boxing gym in town, then you're kind of out of luck.
Yeah. So yeah. We really jumped in further ahead than what we typically do in a conversation. but that's because I was more curious than anything. But for everyone listening, I think you've gathered at this point that Aranka is a boxer who's out of Canada. But to kind of help get us there, what got you into boxing and to where you are now?
So I've always felt drawn to boxing, even as like a kid. I remember watching an episode of Doc, you know, Billy Ray Cyrus's show from the 90s.
Right.
And there was like a female boxing episode, and I still have it in my mind, and I had nothing to do with boxing. I came across like fighting sports in like romance novels. And I was like, I should, like, it was a plot point to get the character to the next development in the story. And I was like, that sounds interesting, that Krav Maga thing. But that wasn't really offered in my town or where I was at that point. So it actually took me finishing my undergraduate degree in Ottawa, Canada, moving back to my hometown, Thunder Bay. I was working at like a community clothing assistant. I needed a hobby. It was my first time not in school for my whole life. Mm-hmm. And I found a kickboxing gym after watching the movie Divergent with Shailene Woodley. I was really inspired by that. I'm like, I need to learn how to fight. Like, so it just kind of came to and that was 10 years ago.
Oh, wow.
That's crazy to think that Divergent is 10 years old.
I know.
I remember when that movie came out and they knocked out like 3 movies in like 3 years. And I'm like, nobody was doing movies that quickly. But I'm glad that it was able to inspire you to like move forward in the fighting sports.
And I didn't even want to go to it. My mom was like, let's go to a movie. I read this book. She's into like, I'm me too now, honestly, like that youth, you know, when you read way lower than your age level. So yeah, she was into that. So she was the one who encouraged me to go with her. And I was like, okay. And yeah, I loved it.
Nice.
So when you first started, was it just something like, oh, this would be a good workout for me, or I should probably learn how to fight? And then you just fell in love with it. Is that kind of like the progression happened?
Yeah, it started with, I need a hobby. I want to do like a workout sort of thing. And I didn't even know fighting for women was a thing, because we were like Ronda Rousey, and that was just sort of getting popular in the general knowledge. UFC cards were still mostly all male, as they honestly are today. Mm-hmm. And I just didn't know that amateur boxing was a thing I could do. I figured you had to get into it when you're like 4 years old or 7 years old, which is more common on the male side. But then I quickly found out that not until, like, this was 10 years ago, not until now are girls starting that young.
Right.
Like I asked my mom, why didn't you take me into a boxing gym when I was like 8, 9 years old? She's like, I would have been laughed out of the gym taking a little girl there. Now it's common. So it was one of my friends at the time, she expressed wanting to fight. And then I was like, oh, that's a thing you can do. And then from that point, I was just trying to prove myself to coaches that that was something I was capable of, despite not being an athlete from a young age.
Oh, wow.
Interesting.
Uh-huh.
So like, how do you transition from like a hobby to like proving to coaches that you could actually go into fighting? Cause I know like I've seen people who are like, oh, you know, I do BJJ just practicing, but then trying to go into a competition, it's totally different. Like, how did you transition from like hobby forward?
It's just showing up, like not missing a day. And that's just, I try to show this in my content I create for TikTok. It's just showing up, even if you're terrible. As long as you're teachable, like as long as you listen and you execute on what the coach is telling you little by little every day. I switched gyms a few times. I ended up at this, it's called Leading, it was, well, it's still called Leading Edge MMA. I don't train there anymore, but I switched to there, and I essentially, there's already a group of women that were fighting, and then they just kind of welcomed me in. So it was just kind of showing up and showing that I was interested and sparring and taking those hits and just being there.
Nice.
How was it the first time that when you actually got into a sparring session, first time you got like a real hit?
Well, there was a period of time when you first start boxing where you are going to get some real hits. It was, so like the first bit was honestly just tapping, and it's not really that big of a deal. But when I moved to that gym within my first year of the sport and started to move towards competition, people who've already competed, they beat the crap out of me. Like, I didn't know until years later that it's not normal to see black at stars every time you spar. Like, that's bad. That's a concussion.
Right.
You don't have to go down.
Oh.
So I was like seeing like black every time. And then years later, my coach is like, that's not good. But I didn't know. I didn't know any different.
Right.
These girls were like really, like, they didn't mean any harm or anything, but they beat the crap out of me to the point like I would drive halfway home, sob, and then drive the rest of the halfway home because I was just like got the crap beaten out of me. Like it was insane.
That I would like to ask that too, because that was a very similar experience that I had when I first started training too, because I started getting like more serious and like training with the professional fighters.
Yeah.
And so I was sparring one of my very first times, had no clue what I was doing, and dropped my hand right at the right time and had a left hook. And I tell people it's just like the movies, how where it goes like kind of blurry and you just hear the really loud ringing. And I'm like, it's that.
Yeah, it's not that these people want to hurt you.
Right, yeah.
And they're trying to work with you, but maybe their experience level isn't quite high enough to like dial it back with someone so new. Because if someone's really, really new, sometimes they do unpredictable things. Mm-hmm. And it's hard to work with that because you don't want to hurt them, but why are you dropping your hand at that moment? That's the worst possible moment, you know?
Exactly. Yeah, and that's exactly what it was too, because I had it up and then I was like thinking about, because this was the first time ever, so I was like, okay, what combination am I going to do? And then I got kind of lazy while that person was already throwing it. So every normal person would have put up their hand a little bit higher, and I just didn't know what was happening. So that was 100% my fault.
That's normal.
Yep.
So I'm going to ask a totally random question before we go back into like the boxing and stuff. What books are you reading now?
Ooh. That's a good question. So since I've been not working, I've been on a wild ride of literature.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to meet my Goodreads challenges. I'm trying to read 30 books this year.
Oh, wow.
So nice. I kind of have these separations. So yesterday I went to Barnes & Noble planning on getting a romance book, and I picked up The Hidden History of Walt Disney World.
Okay.
So I'm a Disney freak. I love it. That's why it's perfect. I landed an hour and a half away from Disney World.
Oh, nice.
I just finished a book called Unsteady. It's like a romance book. I picked up at Walmart. It's like the hockey player falls in love with the figure skater and that sort of stuff. It actually was based on the hockey player having a concussion. That's why I picked it up. I was like, I can relate to like, you know, when you get a concussion and like coming back to your sport.
Yeah.
And then I've been audiobooking a lot of like Paris Hilton's biography, Matthew Perry's. I just finished Tom Felton's this year. So yeah, it's just either a biography, history, or just like the smuttiest romance.
Good combo.
Yeah.
Very interesting.
You
got
to even it out.
Have you read The Seven Husbands?
No.
Oh,
no.
There's apparently this really big book that was on like TikTok. I mean, you're on TikTok, so that's why I don't know if you had read it or not. But this lady, like, it's this lady, says The Seven Husbands of Evelyn Hugo. And I've seen so many things about it that like everyone's like, oh, you should check it out. I just haven't gotten to that spot yet.
I'm looking into it. I'm on a reading binge right now.
Yeah. It's supposed to be like a historical fiction, but also like a romance novel.
Oh, yeah.
And I like to support things that aren't just Court of Thorns and Roses and like the silliness that it is.
Yeah, of course.
So back to boxing.
Yeah.
When was your first like official fight? And then
So it was in 2015.
Okay.
Yeah, 2015. So I started in 2014. Fight happened March 2016. March 2016. It was honestly not a great experience, because what happened was I was training with this coach who was, he like trained someone to the Olympics and was like a good fighter, but kind of creepy. Like,
yep.
So he wanted to take me to like the US. So I'm like an hour away from the border. We're in Thunder Bay. And then Duluth, Minnesota is about like a 4-hour drive, three and a half. So he wanted me to go with him alone to Duluth, Minnesota. And I said no, because I was like, I'm not traveling. Like, that's kind of weird.
Yeah.
And I was like 22 at the time. I also had my very first date with my now husband. So it actually was a good choice in many ways. So he dropped me actually as an athlete because I wouldn't go with him.
Jeez.
So I had another coach step up, but he didn't have his papers. Like, you have to have your license in line to take someone to a fight.
Right.
So I just had a stranger in my corner with my coach kind of behind the scenes. And any of your first fight, it's very important to have your own, because this can be very scary.
Yeah.
So it's important to have your own coach all the way through and then have your coach in your corner. And honestly, it was just a mess. that coach later actually got charged with like sexual assaulting athletes, like in the 90s. So I made a good choice.
Yeah.
So, but there's just like this, it just wasn't good. It was a bad experience. But the passion for the sport, like I didn't even think I was going to box again after the first fight. And that's what happens to a lot of people.
Yeah.
Because it was 4 1-minute rounds, which is insane.
Yeah.
I made it all the way through the fight. It was I lost a decision. It was fine. But I just was passionate about the sport. So I stuck with it.
Oh, wow. So how many fights have you had now then?
I've had 10.
Okay, that's great.
It's kind of hard as a heavier woman to get fights because they're just most of the girls are like 140, 130, 120. And I tried. I fought once at 149. Right now I'm at 200. Okay. I fought once at 149 and almost passed out in the third round. Like
I'm it was sure, just, yeah.
I was so hungry. Like there's because amateur boxing weighs in the day of, not the day before.
Oh, wow.
So like you don't have time to like replenish.
Fully rehydrate.
Yeah, that's why you can't really do weight cuts without really endangering yourself
right. In
amateur boxing. But that was that.
Oh, no, I asked about Ford and then Tyler asked about how many you've done now just to kind of showcase to people like just because your first fight doesn't go how it's planned, like you still like just with anything, you have to put in the time and like understand that the first time is not always going to be 100% what you want.
Well, it's kind of one of those things where if you don't have the right coaching, that's a problem. If you never were an athlete, you got a huge learning curve. The amateurs are for learning. Like most amateurs have a losing record. Like, that's your training ground for the pros.
Mm-hmm.
So even my coach over the years had been like, well, it's not really that big of a deal if you lose. You're just trying to, they say in boxing, they say you win or you learn.
Yep.
So yeah.
So you have aspirations to go pro then?
My current boxing coach is like very, like he's a pro coach. He's trained like many world champions and that's like when he tried to get me down to Florida, that's the first thing he said. He's like, you shouldn't leave the sport until you're a world champion because you have that potential.
That's awesome.
But the problem is I live in Thunder Bay. Like I'm not American.
Yeah.
So it's not like I can relocate down to Florida without a visa and that sort of thing. So I would like to, if I can have the proper coaching and proper preparation, like I'm not going to have like half-ass it.
Right.
Yeah.
Sorry, we're not allowed swearing at my gym. So like even just like I was a big swearer before I came to Florida and I have not sworn since. So that was like I really had to right. And it's like I love boxing, just any form of boxing, right? But the thing is it's very dangerous if you're not doing it with the proper preparation, proper coaching. And I don't think I could get that in Thunder Bay right now. I'd have to move and spend a little bit more time in Florida for that. But again, it's a visa thing. And I got bills. Right. Yeah.
So like looking forward, would you want to be a coach in the future and kind of like expand that in Thunder Bay?
There are coaches in Thunder Bay. It's just they haven't done as much as I have. Like,
yeah.
They like someone like will have 5 boxing fights and open a gym kind of thing. And that's not really, you don't know. There's different levels, right?
Right.
Everything. And I, down here, have experienced the level of the sport I can even possibly imagine. Like Aaron Snowell, he was Mike Tyson's coach in the 80s.
Wow.
He cornered me for a round. And like, because my coach, we were having an exhibition. He was there. He was like, no one got this girl. So he'd like, he's like, I got you. And like, help me out. And gave me some positive words and some encouragement and some coaching too, just which was nice of him. So I interviewed on my channel Dahlia Duran, Roberto Duran's daughter.
Yeah.
Just like Pinklin Thomas brings his fighters. He also fought Mike Tyson. He was a heavyweight champion of the world before Mike Tyson beat him. Oh. It all comes back to Mike Tyson in boxing, you know?
I know, yeah. Pretty much anyone fought him.
Yeah, but he's like the one degree of Kevin Bacon.
Right.
But anyway, I've experienced this level of boxing that like is just so elevated that going back to like a respectable level, like it's not like terrible. I can train and everything there, but like just when you go up to such a high level and then have to go back down, it's just like it's jarring.
Yeah,
I remember the first time I did mitts, like you know when you do the pads with Coach Tito, and it's on my there's a clip of it on my social media, and it was like, whoa, like this is what it feels like to work with someone who knows really what they're doing. Yeah. I'm not saying people in the past that I worked with didn't know what they were doing, like coaches and that, but it's just next level. So like I said, there is coaching in Thunder Bay and that. It's just not at this really high level. Yeah.
There's definitely levels to the game. So in Wilmington, there's a few professional fighters in both boxing and MMA and other aspects, BJJ. And same concept too. So there's really good fighters in this area, but when they go to compete, they have to go down to those Floridas, the Arizonas, the Colorados to get that real next level kind of preparation, I guess you could say, to go and fight at their level. So yeah, the same exact thing too. Even though there's wonderful fighters here and they are coaches here, but for them to go to the next level and get that proper training, they have to go to those same areas too. It is interesting. And you can tell the difference of someone who's been coaching for a couple years versus someone who's been coaching the elite for decades.
Well, and it's also the people who have that fight experience. So if I like, and you have comp, like I'm going into my next tournament being like, I'm coached by someone who's trained women to like a WBA titles and men, and trained a fighter to the 2016 Olympics. So I know that that's like, I know I have the knowledge. I know I have the conditioning because he did it for all those other people. So it's just like, it just gives you another level of confidence. It's, I'm just really lucky to have had the means to experience this level of training, because it's just like, yeah, honestly, it's beautiful. Like, I don't even know how to describe it. When you know the sport and you get to experience at that level, it's hard and it's sweaty and like terrible, but at the same time, there's a beauty in it.
So what did you do before dropping your last job and moving down to Florida?
Well, I still have my last job.
Oh, okay. Cool.
Parallel life. I actually have to go back to it to pay off this adventure.
Right.
I'm a criminal defense lawyer.
Oh, no way.
Yeah, I do, like, I focus on bail hearings and it's like a public defender, but I focus just on bail.
Oh,
and in Canada, it's a much better job than it is in the US.
It probably doesn't take a lot for that.
Yeah.
That's really neat, though. So is that what you went to school for then?
Yeah, I did an undergraduate degree in criminology and political science, and then went to law school right after that. When I started boxing was that period before I got accepted to law school. After I finished my undergrad and before I got into law school, it was like a 6-month period, and that's when I started boxing.
Oh, wow. Good.
So,
sorry to interrupting.
No, we go back and forth. So, in general, how does like boxing compare to your normal life in like the lawyer world?
Well, the lawyer world is like arguing and like combat by mouth or words and like knowledge, whereas boxing is very like, ideally you turn off your brain and just like, it's more like in your body. Like it's very physical, obviously, but like I take instructions and I execute and I have to adjust for like situations. Like say if someone's up against the ropes, I in my head have to be like, okay, you can't be too close. Because your punches won't be as efficient. You have to have like different angles that, and then what am I going to do? Right. Whereas, and it's feeling, whereas I feel like law is completely in the brain and it's exhausting. Like the lawyer work is very, it's honestly tiring in its own way. Cause I'll finish a day of like bail hearings and then have to work out and I'll be like, oh, I'm so tired.
I can't even imagine after a long day of your like full-time job and then going to work out and train hard for boxing afterwards, because I can only imagine.
I'll already have trained in the morning too. Oh, yeah. So it's like sandwiched. It's really hard. That's why being able to take the time this winter to just train full-time is why I'm so confident going into my next competition, because I'm like, no one can do that. Like it's a privilege to do what I've done in the last 5 months, because it's expensive, like very expensive. It's a lot of time, a lot of energy, and it's just it's pretty much impossible normally.
So how long is an actual fight camp for you typically?
Like 6 weeks would be like a normal camp, but I'm just like, was like this situation, this has been a weird situation because I just been like, I'm going to Florida, I'm going to train full time. And when a fight comes up, I'm going to take it.
Yeah,
and nothing really. Like we went down to Miami for the Golden Gloves there. I had two opponents pull out So I got the spot at the national tournament, and they were even going to reject it to me. They weren't even going to give it to me because like it's like a walkover essentially. But I showed up and they saw my 10 fights and they were like, no, we're not letting you. Our girls aren't going to fight her. Wow. So I'm just like, okay, well, I'm training here my butt off. And see, this is the thing, problems that happen with girls that don't happen with the guys. Guys, you show up to a tournament, there's like 100 people to fight.
Yeah.
Girls show up and it's like two other girls saw me and were like, no, sorry. Like, oh man.
They were afraid.
No, I think their coaches were just like, she's too experienced. You have, say, 2 fights. She has 10. That's not a good one. Which is the wrong, my coach says, they're cowards. I'm like, okay, thanks.
Yeah. I mean, it's true though. I mean, how else are you going to get that experience regardless?
Well,
I mean, I'd want that.
In women's boxing, especially when you're talking heavyweight, you got to go in with people more experienced. It's just
right.
Like, okay, you get stopped. Big deal. Like you got another knocks on your belt. You got more experience.
Mm-hmm.
Go on to the next.
Yeah. So, because I know very little, and by very little, I mean like un poquito about boxing. When you say golden gloves, like what is that?
So there's like state golden gloves tournaments that are incredibly, for the men's side, incredibly competitive. And then the winners of that go to the national golden gloves. So you're competing against the best in every single state. So it's, and then if you win that, you got a Golden Gloves amateur title, which is very, very, very big deal. Like if you go pro, that'll be on your poster.
Oh, okay.
Like, say if you like Florida State Golden Gloves champion, so-and-so, or like national Golden Gloves, like if you have national Golden Gloves on your pro poster, like that's just adds to your pedigree. Very big deal.
Yeah. I just never, I'm like, I've always heard of people like, oh, they have Golden Gloves. And I'm like, I know it's fancy, but I just didn't know what it was.
There's many different golden, like in Canada, we have like a Golden Gloves tournament, but it's not like a true Golden Gloves tournament. It's just like a high level tournament. But this is like brand name. Like you buy that Gucci bag, this real Gucci bag, like yep. Golden Gloves tournament. Like it's like they got that trademark on there. So yeah, it's a really big deal to that Florida gave me this opportunity to go fight in the Golden Gloves because it's worth the price of admission really just being there.
Yeah,
that's great. What's your favorite part of being down in Florida and what's the biggest difference from Canada to Florida other than the weather?
So the thing is, like, I'm from, a very remote area of Canada. So say, like, people from, see if they're from Toronto or are going to listen to this and be like, yeah, we have that in Canada. But for me, I don't. So I noticed there's a lot of, like, stores. Like, so, like, even in Ocala, if I want to go thrifting, there's, like, a bajillion thrift stores. Mm-hmm. Whereas in my town, there's, like, 2 with the same population. If I want to like go to the grocery store, there's so many different grocery stores. The shelves are always stocked. Whereas in my town, like a lot of times you're just not finding stuff. Mm-hmm. There's so many brands of everything. Like I like that I can get Liquid Death here. That's always exciting. Mm-hmm. Liquid IV. A lot of liquids that I can't get.
Right.
And it's just a lot cheaper. I find the groceries are cheaper even with the dollar exchange. I love that Aldi. I love Aldi. I like that everything's kind of close. Like people, Kid Rock recently referred to Ocala as the middle of nowhere. Mm-hmm. I'm like, Disney World's 1 hour and 20 minutes away. Clearwater, Florida, like Tampa, the Pacific Ocean's like 1 hour and 20 minutes, 2 hours away. Like this is not the middle of nowhere. You have no idea what the middle of nowhere is.
Right.
So I just like I haven't gone to the, I love the movies. I haven't gone to the movies at all while I've been here because Disney World's like 1 hour away. So I might as well just go to Disney World. You know what I mean? Like,
fair enough.
So it's just, there's just, like, I'm a kind of person that needs to be, like, always stimulated, and I find it hard to, like, lay low, and there's just so much stimulation in Florida and Central Florida, and so much variety, and I'm gonna miss it all. I'm gonna have a hard transition back. But at the same time, like, I miss my dog. My dog's in Canada. Mm. I miss him so much. And my husband, I got married last summer.
Oh, yeah.
So... and my family and that. So I think I'm just trying to like be like positive about going home because I have a gym community here. I built a life, right? Really. Yeah. In the last 5 months and I'm sad to leave it. So lots of stuff I'll miss.
Yeah. So that's one of my favorite questions asked people that aren't from the States. And usually the number one answer is one of them that you gave is like when you go into a grocery store, there's a million of the same item on the shelf.
Yeah.
And just different brands. So I always find that fascinating that mm-hmm. we're like the only country that needs to have 15 different versions of Cheerios.
Well, when I look at the grocery store, is and I'm like, that's why there's obesity in America. Yeah. Like, look at them. There's so much. And it's cool colors and they're Dolly Parton cake mix and all that. And I'm just like, whoa, this is like, it's wild. I like, even like the yogurt I liked isn't in Canada. It's like that split one where you put the, And I'm like, I'm going to miss it. So I'm going to be, I'm probably going to lose some weight, but I'm going to miss it.
Right. What are the odds of having your husband move down to Florida?
Zero. He said beforehand, we're not moving to Florida. And I'm, because it's like the politics and it's, you know, like where I live is very Republican, very pro-Trump. And I'm pretty good at putting that out. Like, I can't vote. I don't care. Right, like, I'm very good at putting that out of my mind because I don't agree with the politics of the area I'm living in. But just not being like engaged, I feel like I can separate myself from it. But my husband is like very like on top of those sort of things. So he's like, yeah, no.
What about the states in general? Kind of to kind of what you were saying is like there's better opportunity with going pro if you were to move to the states or something.
Well,
what
he would... the problem is we're lawyers, right? So we're licensed in Canada. We're licensed in Ontario. So I'm kicking myself now being like, why did I go into a career where I can't really go anywhere? So yeah, it's, I would love to move to Florida. I love it. And I love Ocala. But like, I also respect my husband's wishes. And like, I think ideally we'd move more to like Toronto area. But again, like we have really good jobs in Thunder Bay. We have a really good like boss and a really good like situation. It's just hard to it's hard to move when you have a good situation. Usually when you move or running away from something.
Good point.
But you have experienced that next level in life. And like, it's one of those things, like you said, like once you've experienced, going back down is always a lot harder.
Yeah.
But being able, you technically have the opportunity to move to Toronto if you needed to, or closer to Toronto, and kind of keep that slightly elevated lifestyle, I guess.
Yeah. It's something we have to think about and talk to my husband about. I just have faith that I'm going to end up where I'm supposed to.
Yeah.
I hope it's back in Florida some weird, bizarre way. I don't know. Like, anything's possible. I didn't know I'd end up here to be like, during important part of my, I should probably bring this up. Important part of my journey is I got really sick with COVID and I had that long COVID. So, you know, when everyone's like, it's a cold and they got better within like 2 weeks, not me. No, 6 months later, I was very ill. I had to go to physio to drive again and like watch movies because it messed up my vestibular system. So like I literally had a deathbed moment where I was like, I regret not taking more chances in boxing. Like that was my like laying on my futon, isolating with pneumonia. And so like, and then I was like always obsessed with when I couldn't really do anything. I was very obsessed with Florida because Florida was open. There's like so much going on there. And so the fact that life took me in a direction where I ended up being able to move to Florida for the winter. It's just divine intervention. And I'm not religious. My gym is very religious. I'm not. But sometimes you pick up on some ideas where you have to just be like, yeah, like this was supposed to happen. So I'm hoping, and I couldn't plan. So I'm hoping that it carries on because, yeah, it's going to be hard to go to transition back. But I got bills. Like I got to pay off the credit cards. It's gnarly in my bank account right now.
That's awesome. You got to experience that opportunity, though, and that you get to go into this next fight, the best that you've ever been with the best training. So that's super exciting.
Yeah. And just like, also, I like that this coach is hardcore, but at the same time, he's like, have fun. Because like, why are you doing this? If you're not having fun, like everyone says, we don't play boxing. Well, then why are we doing it?
Right.
Like if we're not having some joy out of it, then why?
Yeah.
Like no one's putting a gun to your head getting you into the ring.
Right.
So yeah, it's been like, and it's being part of that community. It's not just the training, it's being a part of the community. Like I've been in gyms, like my old gym in Thunder Bay, I just never felt like I belonged. Like I always felt like kind of like being held at a distance. I don't know, and not believed in. So that's why this gym, I just felt like in the city, I just feel like I fit in where I don't have that at home.
Yeah.
Never had.
For some of the women that may be listening right now that have always wanted to do something that was a little bit more challenging to them or get into some type of fighting and stuff, because I know that's getting bigger now. What are three tips that you would give that person?
I think just showing up, even in being willing to look silly. Like, you know, when you shadow box for the first time, when you start skipping rope, you feel like an idiot. Like, it's hard. It took me years to skip rope, like, for 30 minutes straight. Like, I obviously trip up. Everyone's going to trip up. Yeah. But, like, I can skip for 30. So, but that took years to get there. So just showing up, being willing to look silly is number one. Number two is expressing to, like, the coach, like, hey, I'm here to get fit, but, like, I might be interested in fighting in the future if that's something you see me being ready for. What do you think? Like, just don't work really hard and then just kind of expect them to come up to you. Maybe, like, kind of make your intentions known. Don't walk in and be like, I'm going to be a world champion and I'm going to make millions of dollars. Like, don't do that.
Yeah.
Because men, I saw that gym the other week. I was like, dude, walk in and be like, hey, like, I'm interested in fighting and I'm willing to work hard. And, you know, if that's something you see from me, that's great. So, like, make your intentions known, but not arrogantly.
Yeah.
And number three is just realizing that so much of it is mental. If your mental health is not in line, you need to, like, get into therapy, do, like, some meditations, get, like, just get your mental game in line. Because when you're walking into that boxing ring, you could be the fittest person in the world, but if your mental strength is not 100%, you're going to crumble. So just, like, training the mind as well.
I like it.
So in all of this, one of my last questions for you is this. What would your definition of success look like?
I think I'd like to, that's a really good question. I don't know. I just want to, like 20 years from now, I want to have a boxing gym, probably in Thunder Bay, but who knows where. And I want to feel like I'm respected within the community with my knowledge. It's not about, like, I'd love to, like, have a few, like, titles or accomplishments, like, so that I feel fulfilled. Mm-hmm. But I almost feel like it's one of those things where, like, you make $1 million and you want to make 2 million, you know, like, the goalpost is always moving. So, like, I'd really love to have a gym one day. But as far as my boxing and, like, what I want to accomplish, I just have a feeling I'm going to know when I get there. Right. Cause I don't know. I just do it because I like how if my body feels when I'm doing it. I love like, it's almost like dancing to me, you know, like I just love being immersed in it. So it's, everyone says, what's your end goal? And I don't necessarily have one. I just love the journey. Like, yeah, I love the journey and the adventures. I've been to Mexico and Miami and British Columbia, and I've seen both oceans and, like, from my boxing journey, and it's just taking me so many places. So I don't know. I gave you, like, a politician answer on that one.
No, that's great though. Everyone always talks about the most successful people that just love the journey and the grind of what they're doing is what gets them there, because they never expected really the payoff. They just loved every aspect of it. So that's awesome.
Well, realistically, it's women's boxing. I'm not going to be a millionaire. Women go into boxing because they like boxing. Right. A lot of men, not all, but some, you're more likely to have men come in who want to make money.
Mm-hmm. Those are the ones that typically don't make it too far either.
One of my coaches early on was like, you know.
Blame your Wi-Fi.
No, blame my Wi-Fi. It's on me. It's on me. I'm honestly happy it's made it this long, because I was trying to use my computer. Like I said, I did not. That's my stable. I do Hungarian lessons. I do it on my other computer and it's much more stable. But anyway, there's no money in women's boxing, really. Realistically.
Makes sense. Mm-hmm. All right. So since we kind of looked forward on that one, I'm going to take you looking back a little bit. So if you were to tell your younger self one thing, what would it be?
I'd say, like, get relax. Like, I had an undiagnosed anxiety disorder when I first started boxing, and it really affected my boxing negatively. So I just, like, I was always, like, very conscientious and like that. And one of my regrets is studying so hard in school. Like, I wish I would have just, like, tried out for the field cheerleading team and, like, done fun stuff and not, like, studied from the moment I got home to the moment I went to bed. And that's what, like, I think I needed to relax. And that would be my advice, is just, like, tone it down. It's going to, it'll work smart, not hard.
Yeah, I like it.
I love that. That's a good one. Something else I want to throw in there too. I feel like there needs to be a really good boxing gym in a place called Thunder Bay. It just seems like the type of place that's going to come out with like the best boxers.
There's an MMA gym and there's some pretty good MMA fighters out of there. But like the boxing side of it isn't like that great because it's like it's MMA for like it's boxing for MMA. It's not so much boxing for boxing.
Yeah.
And like the kids that coming, they do okay. Like they do good. Mm-hmm. Like, but it's not, the coach didn't really believe in me. So, cause like I wasn't doing very good in fights and that. When I was working with him. So I think, I don't know. It just wasn't like, it was fine. It just wasn't for me. So that's why I'm kind of like, I'm a little bit gymless when I go home. Right. So I'm going to have to navigate it. And a new gym opened up since I've been here. Yeah. That's pretty close to my house. So maybe I'll check that out.
No. Yeah. Nice. Sweet. So
some decent fighters. Yeah.
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 Mm-hmm. So you're on social media. Where can people keep up with all the stuff that's going on and kind of follow you and your path to success?
Yeah, so I make a lot of content. I've been doing it for the last year. It's boxing_JD, as in Juris Doctor, because I'm a lawyer. Yeah. boxing_JD on YouTube, TikTok, and Instagram. I try to post, like, try every day to do a reel and that. But when you're training so much, honestly, sometimes you don't got anything else to give.
Yeah.
But I try to make it clear that boxing is for everyone. I don't care if you're 400 pounds. I don't care if you're in a wheelchair. I don't care your ethnicity, gender, age, anything. Anyone can do it. And I think that our pop culture and movies and that has made it look like you have to be like a big burly guy and have like a perfect boxing record to be able to do the sport. And that's not reality. Mm. And that's not something I understood at the beginning. So I make content. I interview pro fighters and just try to make myself open to answer people's questions about boxing, how to get into it, what to do in their situation.
Awesome. Very cool. So my actual last question, what day is your fight?
So it's anytime between May 13th and 18th.
Okay.
Like the American big tournaments are usually a week long, which can be hard for people with jobs.
Yeah.
So that's why it's good that it's kind of coming up right before I go back to work in Canada.
Yeah.
So it's any time in between there, depending on how many people there are to fight. My weight class will probably be like one of the more sparse ones, but like a 125 pound dude would fight like four times in that period, week. Yeah. But me will be like maybe once or twice.
Okay.
Nice. Three times if I'm really lucky.
Yeah.
We're hoping for lucky.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah. All right. Well, we're coming up on our time here today, but thank you so much for jumping on here with us and taking some time out of your day and some of your relaxation time out of the camp going into this.
Yeah.
So we greatly appreciate that. And good luck to you and your tournament as well.
Thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely.
Thank you. It was a blast. I'm excited to kind of keep up with your escapades. I'm always, I was like following new people and new things.
Oh, yeah. No, give me a follow. It's always something new and exciting. You never know where I'll turn up. Next week, I'm going to be I'm driving to Detroit from Florida.
Oh, wow.
So I'm going to be in Knoxville, Tennessee. I'm going to be like, I don't even know. I'm going to learn some U.S. geography all the way.
Yeah. You're going to visit more states in this next week than probably most Americans have.
I downloaded an app to keep track, and I have been to most of the East Coast states, like on the east side. Yeah. I gotta go to the west, but that's for another time period.
Another fight camp in the future.
Yeah. Maybe I'll end up in Nevada. Who knows?
Right.
Yeah.
That'd be cool.
Yeah. Get my face on the big dome one day. I don't know.
Exactly. That'd be pretty sweet. That's goals right there.
Yeah. Well, I saw the F1 drivers with their faces on. I like F1. So I saw the F1 drivers and I was just like, I can.
Right. That could be possible.
That'd be cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
We're looking forward to it.
Yeah. Awesome. Thank you so much.
Yeah. Thank you. We'll talk to you soon.
Yeah.
Bye.
And everybody, just keep an eye out for her on all of her social medias. We'll post them in the show notes. And for us, like, comment, share, subscribe, and we'll catch you in the next one.
Cheers.
Cheers.